Imagine how America, and especially Hawaii, felt in 1942. U.S. dominance of the Pacific had been devastated by the Pearl Harbor attack, a military masterstroke that crippled this country's military capabilities on its western flank. We were vulnerable, as we have rarely been in our history, until the Battle of Midway, from June 4th to 7th, reversed the Imperial Japanese Navy's momentum. Jonathan Parshall is the author of Shattered Sword, the untold story of the Battle of Midway. It takes a new look at one of history's most decisive conflicts, and he's with us this morning. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Is that an accurate representation of the world we had first half of 1942?
Yeah, I'd say that is. The first 6 months of the Pacific War had just gone terribly for the Allies, not only for America, but also for the British and the Dutch as well. And, you know, the Allies were in retreat everywhere. So to be able to turn things around at Midway was obviously a very big deal.
One of the things that I think people get about World War II, or one of the things that people don't get about World War II, at least from popular histories and movies, is that we could easily have lost.
I think that's right. Although I will say that
perhaps not easily, but we could have lost World War II.
Could have potentially lost. I mean, really what it comes down to in 1942 is that the Americans have got to demonstrate that they can go toe-to-toe with the Japanese and actually fight them and beat them. It is not enough to say that, okay, well, our economy is seven times larger than yours. We're just going to whip out our checkbook and we win the war, right? Mm-hmm. No, we've got to be able to fight. It took a number of months to kind of reverse that aura of invincibility that the Japanese had.
Driven all before them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Had captured an enormous empire at very little cost to themselves, and it had humiliated the Allied forces in the process of so doing. So for the U.S. Navy to kind of turn things around at Midway and to lay the groundwork for then to be able to take the offensive against the Japanese, that was an enormous accomplishment.
What did it take for us to, for one thing, to find the Japanese, to engage in the battle in the first place, and what did it take for us to win?
Right. Well, you know, the biggest development that was happening there, and this is something that had been happening even before Pearl Harbor, is we had broken the Japanese operational codes. Our mm-hmm. code breakers had performed really a minor technical miracle and had been able to break into these codes. And so we were not reading enough of their mail to know all of the details, but we knew enough that we could predict that the Japanese carrier force was going to show up off the island of Midway sometime in the first couple days of June. And that gives us enough time to scramble, get some carriers up there, and put together an operational plan to catch them and ambush them.
And, you know, that would seem to be a pretty specific piece of intelligence, but yet we're talking about a vast area of the ocean.
Yes.
It's still a needle in a haystack finding those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things I'm going to be talking about tomorrow when I'm out at the Aviation Museum is, you know, just think about what it was like to climb into the cockpit of one of these planes and be launched in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and have to go and look for the Japanese fleet. You know, there's no navigational aids. You've got a little paper map strapped to your thigh. You've got a, you know, pencil and a compass. You know, Siri is not whispering in your ear here telling you,
left.
You know, you make a left. Yeah, the Japanese are over there. So, you know, it took serious guts just to get in a plane and do that. And then, you know, you've got to fly across 200 miles. You've got to find these guys. You have to attack them. You have to tangle with Japanese Zeros, which is very unpleasant.
And then get back before you run out of fuel.
Right. And find your carrier, which, by the way, could have moved 60 or 70 miles in the interim and is operating under radio silence and can't tell you where it is. So, yeah.
And then you have to land on the carrier, which is quite a thing in itself.
So, you know, just flying one of these planes was dangerous, let alone actually having to go into combat with it. It's a real story of bravery and perseverance at a human level. And then at, you know, the strategic level, obviously, there's all this other stuff going on in terms of code breaking and so on.
But essentially what broke the logjam in the Pacific was we found their carriers.
That's right. That's right. It was a very... The Battle of Midway is interesting because it was a very narrowly fought contest. It was rather evenly matched at the point of the spear. We have three carriers. They have four. And mm-hmm. really, you know, who's going to get the first punch in? That's really the telling thing. And mm-hmm. by a whole bunch of kind of lucky chances, you know, two separate groups of our dive bombers show up over their carrier fleet without even knowing that each other is there.
Really?
And, you know, we get the attack in at 10:20 that fatally cripples three of their four carriers, and then we finish the last one off in the afternoon. So, you know, big win. That means that they started out the war with six large carriers, and we've now subtracted four of them in the course of a single day. That's tantamount to a national catastrophe for the Japanese.
You've read the Japanese equivalent of after action reports, and,
sure.
And what was their reaction? I mean, privately among themselves, did they say this is devastating? We really
no,
and amazing.
That is really one of
four carriers. I mean,
yeah. You would think that you would go home. One of the things that's going on here is that the Japanese really started lying to themselves, and they certainly lied to their own people.
Yeah.
They did not admit that they had lost these carriers. In fact, the Imperial Navy didn't even tell the Imperial Army, who was running the country, by the way, that, you know, we've lost these four carriers. That only came out over the, you know, the subsequent weeks.
That's a fatal flaw for a military organization.
I think you can say when you've got, you know, that sort of gothic level of dysfunctionality between your two armed services that it's pretty tough to run a war.
You expect them to lie to their own people. Everybody does that
right.
In wartime.
Right,
that's just
exactly.
How it's done.
It's
right?
How it's done. But, yeah, when you're lying to each other.
Yeah.
So, no, it's interesting. You know, if you look at what happens within the Japanese Admiralty, you would expect that heads would roll.
Yeah.
But when you've put up a public persona to your own people that this was a great victory, well, you can't very well go cashier people. And so as a result, there seems to be very little in the way of introspection at the higher levels of command as to what really went wrong here. And I think this sort of denotes this is where the Japanese start being a day late and a dollar short for really the rest of the war, that they're now scrambling to catch up to the Americans, who now take the initiative. You know, the Americans take it away from them and start to counterattack.
That refusal to admit failure
has
something to do with the Bushido and the samurai tradition, don't you think?
Yeah. I think
reluctance to admit failure. You don't go back with your tail between your legs.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a fascinating passage in the diary of one of the admirals, even at the end of 1942 when a number of other calamities have happened to them. He's kind of going through the roll call of all the ships that they think that they've sunk from the American Navy, and it represents nothing more, nothing less than, you know, about double the inventory that we actually had. And so they were literally operating in an alternate mental universe. Pretty tough to win a war.
Unfortunately, it's not the only example of a military lying to itself. And I'm thinking of some recent American conflicts where we've made that same mistake and paid for it, right?
Right, right. And they absolutely did in this case.
Jonathan, really good to talk to you. And look forward to hearing from you tomorrow night at the museum. And Jonathan Parshall is the author of Shattered Sword, The Untold Story of the Battle of Midway. He'll be speaking tomorrow night at the Pacific Aviation Museum. And details are on our HPR2 website.